to be tired. It's the first time that it's mentioned that Jesus is tired. Now, is he tired because he's been running left and right? He went to a big party, and he had to clean that temple. I mean, he's been all over the map. Fatigue does not simply befall Jesus like it happens to us. Jesus chooses fatigue, which doesn't mean he's faking it. When he's tired, he's tired. But it's something that he chooses to take upon himself. With the apostles, and in all these previous situations, the fatigue would have served little purpose. Here, however, Jesus is about to encounter a woman who is exhausted. Exhausted in her body, and as we read, exhausted in her heart. So Jesus chooses to be tired, so to be close to her. Jesus is really a merciful class act. And so Jesus, as we read, tired from the journey, sat at the well. So Jesus adopts a position of rest, but also a position, it seems, that is less intimidating for a first encounter. The difference between somebody standing and towering over you and somebody sitting, it's enormous, the impact. There again, Jesus does all that he can to favor the encounter. Jesus does all that he can to favor encounter with each one of us, always. And as we read, as I can somewhat read, since I forgot my new glasses, it was about noon. High noon, when the sun beats most intensely, when we're told to avoid the sun so that we not experience skin damage. Well, this woman's not concerned with that. She is engaged in her daily routine. So Jesus sitting at the well, favoring encounter, awaiting her, and here she comes. Her daily routine is to fetch water at the hottest time of day in one of the hottest regions in the world. Her daily burden. But as we read, her daily burden is not, her daily routine, excuse me, is not her only burden. That's burdensome. It's not a recommended career. I mean, she managed. Her heart, as is revealed, is laden with burden. And her inner burden, the burden of her heart, of course, probably makes the labor all the worse. No joy. So, going through the motions all the more. When do we go through the motions? In whatever, it could be mass, happens. At work, when do we go through the motions? When our heart is not in what we do. This woman's heart was so laden with burden as she revealed to Jesus that her heart was not in what she was doing, which made this daily routine, which is already challenging, all the less fun. And Jesus meets her right there. How wonderful. And what's interesting, I find, is that given her inner situation, she's not well disposed to meeting anyone. When you're not doing well, you're not in a good place to meet anybody. You're like, when you tolerate encounter, and you go through the day smiling and pretending everything's okay, and then when you get home, you plop, and you're thankful that there's nobody around, if there's nobody around, and then you look forward to the next day, hoping it'll be a better day. She's not very well disposed, and yet Jesus awaits her. It's not a problem for Jesus. Know that in our own lives. When we're not doing well inside, we're not well disposed to encounter, it's not a problem for Jesus. So Jesus takes the initiative. This is all Jesus' initiative. It's very strategic. It's wonderful. It comes across as really casual, although the greeting is a little weird. Frankly, we'll get to that. Jesus takes the initiative because given her burden, given the heaviness of her heart, she, even Jesus alone, she would not have addressed probably. I mean, she's just there to get the water and go on. The next day she'll do the same thing. It's day after day after day, and it gets heavier each day. So Jesus must take the initiative. Jesus, who wants to encounter this woman. And what is his opening line? Give me a drink. Which is a little odd, I find, because it's not exactly, you know, an opening line to put a stranger at ease. It's not designed to charm, I probably wouldn't, I wouldn't use it as a pickup line in a bar. Give me a drink. Not that Jesus is, trying to get her or anything. But it's an odd opening line. Give me a drink. I mean, one would expect, a smoother, more gentle, more transitional greeting of sorts. Give me a drink. So why this approach? Jesus knows what he's doing. He always knows what he's doing. So why this approach that we would not use because we would not know how to do it well? Jesus wants to encounter this woman where she's dying to be encountered. This woman who represents humanity in its despair. Humanity in its tired heart. Jesus comes to meet us in the fatigue of our heart. Give me a drink. So if only we could somehow hear the tone with which Jesus said that, we can. We need to ask him, help me to hear it correctly somehow. And then when I see you face to face, I'm going to ask you exactly how you said it, okay? I'm going to hold you to that. It would help. He surely said it with a tone and in such a way as to awaken this woman. She was numb. She needed to be touched deeply. So this simple kind of sweet greeting probably would not have worked. She needed to be reached deep inside because she had become numb by her work and by these many relationships that didn't work, which numb the heart after a while. Give me a drink. And how does she react? She's amazed. And amazed means both surprised and touched. She's amazed that this young and strong and beautiful man would speak to her. Because Jesus was young and strong and beautiful. As we read in the Psalms, the most beautiful of the sons of men. We sometimes don't think of Jesus as being the most beautiful man to walk the face of the earth. Indeed. She's amazed, and her surprised reaction suggests she was not offended, because it could sound offensive, that initial opening. Her reaction suggests that she was not offended, which suggests that Jesus did not speak condescendingly. It wasn't, give me a drink. It was not condescending. Jesus was not barking an order. Jesus was asking, give me a drink. He who deliberately came to the well without a bucket. Very strategic. So sort of helpless, because you need a bucket to draw water to drink. Otherwise, it's not possible. So if he's helpless, he's not just asking. In a sense, he's begging. He's begging from her, which is really quite amazing. The Son of God begging for a drink. Strategic, merciful, gracious. He did this so that she feels safe. And more properly, so to teach her to ask, so that she ask, so that Jesus be able to give. See, he's awakening and educating her heart. Because once again, her routine and the resignation, because whoever the guy is now, it's not even her husband, she's like, oh, forget getting married at this point, whatever. Numbness. Her routine and resignation have led to numbness, which, as we experience in our lives from time to time, stifles curiosity and hinders desire and thus asking. In other words, if nothing's happening in our hearts, we don't desire much and we don't ask. We just kind of go through the motions. So Jesus is awakening her. She's amazed that this man would ask her, and she's amazed also that Jesus would so freely disregard the interdict to associate with Samaritans. Wait, you're not supposed to be doing that. She's amazed not because Jesus proves to be some freewheeling revolutionary, but because Jesus is so unbelievably focused on her person. That's what amazes her. He disregards protocol and everything and totally focuses on her person.